Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from today's holy gospel on which we meditate in John 16. This morning we focus especially on these words. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. This is God's word. This morning I'd like to begin with a story. This story is about a young girl. Let's say she's 12 years old. And let's say her name is Sophia. Sophia is very, very creative. She's always drawing pictures, and every day she draws a new picture and hangs it on the door of her bedroom. And mom and dad are always finding her pictures, her artwork all about the house, and her markers and her paints and her colored pencils and all the things with which she creates. Now imagine that one day Sophia takes out a fresh sheet of white paper and a brand new box of markers and a set of colored pencils. And she begins to create one of her masterpieces. She pours her heart and her soul into that picture. She chooses the colors with care. She places each shape strategically on the right place of the paper. She thinks carefully before each stroke of her marker or colored pencil. Now, as she's working, something astounding happens. Something unbelievable. The picture begins to speak to her. The picture says, excuse me, Sophia, you see this circle you drew on me down here in the right corner? Do you mind coloring that circle blue? Sophia stops what she's doing and looks down at the picture and says, blue might be nice, but maybe I want to color it green, or maybe even purple. Or possibly pink. And besides, picture, who do you think you are to tell me what colors to use when I make you? And the picture says to Sophia, well, I'm your picture and you're the artist. And if there's anyone to ask, I figure it should be you. Now, I would hope none of you have ever struck up a conversation with a picture. If you have, let's talk after church. You've never had a birdhouse that you've built that struck up a conversation. You've never baked a casserole that asked you to add some salt to it. But the story's not as far-fetched as it seems. Because isn't it the type of conversation that happens every single time you and I go to God in prayer? Truly, truly, I say to you, said Jesus, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. When you and I speak to God in prayer, the created speaks to the Creator. When you and I pray, the picture speaks to the artist. Sounds unthinkable that such a conversation should ever take place. C.F.W. Walther, the first president of the LCMS, once said, Christians are always certain that their prayers will be heard because God commands them to pray. Had God not commanded it, it would be unheard of audacity for a man to speak with God. The creature with the creator, the clay with the potter. Prayer itself is really unthinkable with God being who he is. And you and I being what we are as sinners. It is preposterous to think that we should be able to even approach him, much less ask him for anything. And yet, that is what takes place every single time you and I fold our hands, bow our heads, drop to our knees, or whatever posture you choose. That is what happens when you and I present our wants, our needs, and our requests to God in heaven. When you and I pray the unthinkable heaven, the unthinkable happens. The clay speaks to the potter. The artwork speaks to the artist. The created speaks to the creator. Prayer is something that we talked about this in our Bible studies that I think every Christian struggles with and wrestles with, not just lay people, pastors too. Everyone feels like he or she could pray more often, pray with emotion, pray longer, pray with better words, with more focus. The list could go on and on and on how we'd love to improve our prayer lives. But I think the fundamental problem is that we think of prayer the wrong way. We think of prayer as something that God has commanded us to do, which is true. He has told us to pray. But the way that God commands us to pray isn't with the force of a demand. It's an invitation. In other words, instead of thinking of prayer as an obligation, consider prayer as something that your Heavenly Father invites you to do. Prayer is, after all, a gift from our Father in heaven, made available because Jesus, our resurrected Lord, sits at God's right hand and brings our prayers there on our behalf. Think of it this way. When a child is given a gift and a parent says, "Here, open this," is that an obligation or an invitation? Of course, it's an invitation to enjoy the benefits of being that parent's child. No child ever says to his or her parents, "Oh, do I have to open my presents?" Instead, a child eagerly tears into the wrapping because it's a gift from mom and dad, and who doesn't want a gift? And that's how Jesus talks about prayer in our gospel this morning. Not as an obligation, but instead as an invitation to approach the Father's throne. And not just as subjects coming before the throne of a king, but as children of the Father. We do call him Father, after all. We call him Father because we are his children. And God has established a deeper relationship with us than any artist has ever had with their creation. You and I don't call God our artist or our potter or our painter or our baker or our builder. We call him our Father because he made us his children in the waters of holy baptism. He put his triune name on each of us, just as at a birth when we receive the name of our parents, whether that name is Roosh or Mortal or Phelps or By or Olson, whatever that name might be. In the water of baptism, we receive a name as well. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are joined to the holy, perfect Son of God. And just as Jesus is God's holy, perfect child, you and I now in Jesus are his holy, perfect children. And holy, perfect children can come before the throne. They're invited into the throne room. They're invited to come to their fathers, to their father. Children speak to their fathers. In a world full of lots of less than perfect fathers, some of you might already know the strain of what it's like to not speak to a father. God, who is holy and perfect, always speaks to us. He speaks to us through his word. He speaks with the power of his Holy Spirit. He speaks his word of law that convicts us. And he speaks the sweet, sweet gospel of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross that redeems us, frees us, and makes us God's children. In Jesus, bearing his name, You have the privilege and blessing of speaking to him. You have the assurance that he knows your needs, and that he cares about your needs, and that he will provide for you. I want to go back to the story I opened the sermon with. Young girl named Sophia creating a picture when the picture boldly speaks to her and asks her to color the circle blue. Well, Sophia didn't color that circle blue. She actually colored it orange. But she didn't color it orange just to spite the picture that wanted a blue circle. No, Sophia cared deeply for the picture she was making. And she knew that with an orange circle, the picture would be more beautiful than with a blue circle. And as Sophia continued her work, the picture began to trust in the artist's judgment. The picture would ask Sophia to add lines here and use certain colors there. And sometimes she did, and sometimes she didn't. But as Sophia's work neared completion, the picture began to see the incredible work of the artist, and the picture rejoiced in how it had been made. Our prayer life is very similar. When Jesus says, "Whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you," aren't we tempted to think that, boy, that must mean if we ask for new cars or new houses or bigger paychecks, and we just slap in Jesus' name on the end of the prayer, well, we ought to be able to get it, right? But praying in Jesus' name means praying in accord with the relationship that God has established with us through Jesus. We learn to pray in Jesus' name by hearing God's word and by learning God's will. Everything that God gives us or refuses to give us is according to God's will. When that picture asked Sophia to color the circle blue, it asked for something that wasn't in keeping with what Sophia had in mind for the picture. But Sophia's plans were far better than the picture's plans. And time revealed that to be the truth. As the picture observed its artist at work, it began to understand. And the picture began to conform its requests to the will of the artist. We often think that prayer is all about us, our commitment, our devotion, our thoughts, our words, our doing. But prayer is nothing more, nothing less than the conversation that God's children have with their Father. And in doing this, God is further doing his work in our lives. As you and I pray, we do so in the name of his Son, Jesus. What we pray for might not be in keeping with his Son's name. Whatever you and I ask, God will hear it. And if it is in keeping with the name of his Son, Jesus, he will most certainly give it. It's why we begin every service in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's why God's name is yoked and joined to things like baptism and Holy Communion. It's why sins are forgiven in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because God has promised in all those things where his name is found. His promises are kept. Life is given, salvation given, forgiveness given, where his name is present. And like a masterpiece of artwork that perfectly reflects his artist's vision and desires, you and I are being brought to completion. Having been claimed as God's work, he is continuing to work in us so that on the last day, we can be displayed as God's holy, perfect masterpiece. That's the goal of prayer. Being God's holy, perfect child on the last day. Consider the prayer that Jesus taught us. All these things that really focus on the end. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done I once had a seminary professor tell us in our class, I thought this was fascinating. He said, do you realize that in paradise, when we live in that new city, the holy Jerusalem that's spoken about in our epistle, he said, do you realize we won't pray the Lord's Prayer anymore? We won't need to. His name will be hallowed. His will always be done. His kingdom will have come in its fullness. We'll have no need of daily bread. There will be no trespasses to forgive. There will be no temptation. There will be no evil. Prayer is something that prepares us for the end. The Lord's Prayer, along with all our prayers, point us to the day when God's unthinkable work will be complete. God the Father bless each of you in your prayer life. The Lord fill you with joy and longing to speak to Him as children speak to their Father, and not ever leave you feeling obligated. And the Lord accomplish in you everything that He has promised to accomplish as He brings you to the end of all things, made holy and made perfect in His Son, Jesus Christ. Prayer is unthinkable, and yet the unthinkable becomes reality in the one who invites us this day to bring all things before His throne. To Him on the throne and to the Son, Jesus Christ, be all glory, honor, and power forever and ever. Amen.